the Calcio Podcast, episode 92. Listeners, ciao, thanks for tuning in. This week, we'll talk about Juventus clinching their ninth consecutive Scudetto after a long, drawn-out battle with Lazio, Atalanta, and Inter, finally closing it out after what was a very underwhelming campaign for Juventus. We'll talk about that overall, what it means for Maurizio Sarri as this season finally comes to a close. We'll chat a little bit about some of the clubs coming up to Serie A from Serie B. We'll talk about Lionel Messi potentially going to Inter. We'll break down that rumor. Does it have any truth to it? And why is Antonio Conte vehemently denying it? Are they just trying to manage expectations, or is it really not going to happen? And are they trying to get people off the bandwagon so that they don't expect it to happen and get disappointed? We'll talk about all that. Plus, a loaded Hero and Stronzo of the Week section. And we have the five-a-side of most random Azzurri call-ups. In the dead of summer, a nice little bit of Nazionale talk featuring special guest Nick Di Giovanni of the Calcio Guys podcast. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss that. So sit back, relax, and as always, enjoy. Pino, take it away. Dai, let's go.
Però, Catenazzo, che donna sei. Io delle donne non mi fido, il corteggiamento è un rito, troppo spesso si finisce che una donna ti tradisce. E non mi importa se son bionde, non mi importa se son more, a me basta che siano tonde e disposte a far l'amore. Io da bambino veramente fui cacciato dalla scuola perché la professoressa mi faceva molto gola quando facevo il militare, poi la moglie del tenente mi faceva le moine, Dio l'ha presa tra la gente, perciò bambina, se sono qui per te stasera è una fortuna.
Andiamo! Let's go, Nick. Gentiletti, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Sam. It's July 28th, and we're still watching club football. Life is weird, but it's oddly good, kind of. Not really, but like in a sports way. Like, it's weird, you know, sports are coming back now. U.S. sports have been back in Europe and for soccer. It's cool seeing sports in the summer like this.
We've got hockey resuming this evening as we record the podcast on Tuesday, July 28th. Very local reference, of course. We have listeners globally, but locally it's a big deal anyway. Yeah, sports are indeed resuming, and it is a fucking weird time, bro. I mean, Champions League is going to end what? Like August 20 some odd. And yeah. Last season or this season started August 20 some odd. 2019, so 12 months on the calendar. Of course, I mean the 3 month break kind of omits. If you omit the fact that there's a 3 month break, you kind of get a whole different impression of how long the season has been. But in terms of the amount
like,
of
the
time,
Euro was supposed to be done, Sam, like over two weeks ago. You know, like
I know
it's when you
know.
Put it in perspective like that, and we're watching club football. It's so weird. It's just so weird. But one thing
that isn't
the bright spot.
One constant is Juve are champions once again. I guess that's probably a decent place to start on, I guess, this week. Juve, of course, clinched the Scudetto. They're ninth consecutively, the 30th overall. If you say they're on 36 fucking Scudetti, I'm going to come at you. Fuck off, Inter. Orchestrated all of Calciopoli. And we just lost Inter fans that were listening to this podcast. So thanks, thanks, Sam, for having a two-minute... what's the term? Is it a drop off? A listener drop off point?
I think that's what it's called.
A nice little massive drop off after 2 minutes of the podcast, as I push a conspiracy theory. But I'll run with the narrative that we just won our 30th Scudetto. Very happy personally for Maurizio Sarri, but a little bit weird overall. Obviously because of the circumstances, but also the fact that we've been playing like shit for the past month. But every team around us that's been in direct competition.
All I could think of when I saw him with the still shots with the champagne over him is like, you're gone. Like, you're getting fired. Enjoy this all you can. Maybe he knows that. But like,
He's not, though. Agnelli came out and said that there's no way that he's leaving. Or I believe it was Paratici, excuse me.
So if Guardiola like tells Juventus, like, I want Juventus, he's not coming.
Correct, because that is never going to happen. Because Man City threw 50 million euro at lawyers, beat the case.
There was rumors that he wanted to come last summer, right? None of this FFP shit was around.
However, I think that Man City are going to get such a fucking injection of cash now in light of the fact that they feel like they can do whatever they want. From what I've heard, they fully plan on injecting a bunch of cash into the club. Guardiola has a big list of demands, which I think the club fully plan on meeting. And I think he probably wants to topple Liverpool one last time.
Before just
he
saying.
I'm so
just
for that reason,
saying.
I don't think
just
it's happening.
Just hypothetically saying.
Look, Sarri...
That's what I was thinking in my
head. Sarri has never won anything or had never won anything until this happened, unless you count lower division titles, promotions, and the Europa League last year.
Okay, yes.
I guess
that obviously
are all titles, you know, so that's a big asterisk. But, you know, in that it's more than most managers have won. But when you consider most managers that have been at Juventus, for example, you know, Maximiliano Allegri, who, when he took over at Juve, he had already won the Scudetto with Milan. I believe Conte had won the Serie B title with Siena. So, yeah, I guess given the fact that just in recent years we've had a history of just overall, I mean, as a team that's always wanted to compete for the title, that's always wanted to be the best domestically, we've always gone and sought out the best managers. And in a lot of ways, Maurizio Sarri was relatively unproven in that he's only had a few years in the top flight. So good on him for winning his first Scudetto with a team that I will say I think was really not up to par with what would have been needed or what will be needed to continue to compete for years to come.
I just find it crazy somehow, like how tying the knot on the win of the championship, which was inevitable, changed your whole temperament about him. From like 2 weeks ago, you wanted him hung in the streets, and today he's some graceful guy who it's nice to see that he won his first title, and you know he's not.
Hold on.
Mad if he doesn't leave. No, but I'm just saying.
Hold on.
It's funny what victory does.
My temperament hasn't changed. I've known that this was going to happen for a couple of weeks now when the gap got as big as it did. We stumbled over the line, but I knew it was going to get to this point. My opinion on him hasn't changed. I think that the football that we've been playing hasn't been that convincing. I think Dybala and Ronaldo really salvaged the season. And were, you know, I guess their performances since restart are what allowed us to kind of get that gap on Lazio and Inter. And ultimately, I don't think that we've been playing beautiful football in any real capacity. But I also am cognizant of the fact that a lot of the players that he has at his disposal are not quite up to it. And if he wants to play football a certain way, then I think we're always going to struggle. My issue with him was, and still is, that he didn't look at the guys he had and say, you know what, I'm going to fucking throw my plan in the bin and we're just going to adjust.
Because that's not the type of manager he is, right?
And that was my beef with him, and it still is. I'm not saying I want him to stay on. I'm saying I think he will. We have to accept it. And let's see what he does.
Your temperament is still different, though. Temperament doesn't mean your opinion hasn't changed.
Oh, no.
You wanted him.
Oh, no.
You wanted him dead in the streets 2 weeks ago. And now, like, you're
after the Coppa Italia final. After the Coppa Italia final, I was pissed off because we lost the game. I don't like the way that we went about, that he went about planning for the final. I didn't like his comments after the game. My temperament has not changed. Whereas if we were to go to the Champions League final in 3 weeks, I would feel so... I would have so little confidence in the squad and the fact that he's at the helm. And I feel like he may just say, you know what, que sera, sera. I don't know that he's necessarily going to plan for the specific opponent that we would hypothetically be facing. That's my biggest issue with him. I don't think he plans for his opponent that much. Again, I've never been in the dressing room with him, but that's kind of the underlying impression.
Now you're getting really...
But it's true. I think he's a little bit too nonchalant, and I don't think he has enough of that, like... That mean streak about him, where he tells his team.
You sounded too much like a pundit right now.
Well. Listen, we're champions again. Yeah, that's terrific. But I really think that a lot needs to be done. I think the squad needs to be overhauled in order for us to compete again next year. Because I think there are going to be a lot of teams up on our heels next season. Which I guess we'll only talk about in a couple of weeks. Because I think fucking next season could be starting in what if we follow the Premier League's model. If we want to be done the season by Euro 2021, we'll probably have to start in like September. Quick shout to Nicholas Di Giovanni of the Calcio Guys, not to be confused with the Calcio Podcast. Us, of course. Welcome, by the way, to episode 92 of the Calcio Podcast. But yeah, we'll have Nick Di Giovanni, good friend of the pod, great kid, on for our segment this week. We'll get a little bit more into the Juve title win, as he is a Juventino as well. We'll get into our five-a-side this week, which is going to be the five-a-side of most random Azzurri call-ups, predominantly. But
looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a little blast from the past. Of course, the fact that there's no international football this summer, and the fact that we're We've had to rain check the Euro. I think this one's going to feel good to talk a little.
And I have a feeling we're all going to have a bunch of good guys on our list that are like, you know, just
some great guys,
good memories, bad memories, good anecdotes, bad anecdotes.
Some great anecdotes for sure. But yeah, anyway, my hero of the week is bankers, all bankers everywhere. Because of course the narrative that Maurizio Sarri has gone from bank manager to, or bank worker, foreign exchange bank employee to Scudetto champion is circulating all around the English press now. So hero of the week is all people that work in banking. There's still hope for you if you hate your job, if you hate your career. Not that there's anything wrong with working in banking, but hero of the week, fucking bankers everywhere. Not too late for you. Of course, we've never heard that story before.
I told you last week that Saudi's career is the fantasy for all people who want to have a professional career but have that deep passion of wanting to, you know, at 45 years old, bring your like a 12-year-old son to a national title, and then somehow that gets your semi-pro club to see you, and then you move on from there, you know. But no, for sure, like we talked about it last week too. Like I'm telling you, it's a fantasy of mine.
You have another hero that you want to get to, Nick? Because I actually have a second one here, a little bit more football related, a little bit less satirical, an actual fucking serious one about something that happened in City of B. But Nick, you have a hero first, in case there's any crossover.
So my hero, well, okay, I'm gonna give my biased hero of the week. My biased hero of the week is
what Milan player are you giving it to?
Is Maldini, who reportedly has already signed an extension into next season, and I think most Milan fans are happy about that. A club icon staying, you know, just that's my biased hero of the week. So Sam, I don't know. I had another like satirical hero of the week that's kind of digging at Inter fans, so I don't know if I want to do it 2 weeks in a row.
I had a satirical one. You can get.
But I think I'll go for it one. Again. I'm gonna double dip in the. I might double dip into the Conte.
Double dip in the satire. Double dip in the satire. Let's go.
Messi to Inter has been the most vehemently denied rumor I've ever seen by like a club, and I find it so fun. Like, I just find it hilarious how vehemently they're denying it.
They're Conte vehemently denying this because, by the way, because they need to manage expectations on this. If this gets out there and they don't acquire him, because it won't happen. And when it doesn't, imagine if every Inter fan on the planet is expecting it to happen because they keep reading it everywhere. And Inter is like, what the fuck? We literally have no intention of signing this guy. We can't afford him. It's not happening. It's not happening.
I was gonna argue and say there's a 1% chance. So like they want to temper expectations in that regard. But no, like they're getting out in front of it. They're really saying like there is absolutely no chance we're going to get Lionel Messi. There's no chance he's going to come. So Conte referred... or made the referral to the Duomo talking about Messi, saying it would be easier to move the Duomo than to move Messi to Inter or something like that. And then I think Marotta described it as a utopian fantasy.
Can you imagine poor Marotta just wants like cheap deals? He goes to Juve, he brings in Barzagli, he brings in Coman for free, he brings in Pogba for free, he brings in Tevez for free, Llorente on a free. And then the fucking club go behind.
So you know what? I'm going to change it.
Him, and they go out and buy Ronaldo. And he's like, fuck that. I'm going to Inter. I want to go work with Conte again. I want to build
my
a
hero
project.
Is the guy
I want to buy
Olivier
Giroud. I want to buy Olivier Giroud's and Victor Moses's. And fuck me. He's like, Christ, I'm going to. Now I got the Suning family who's saying no. You sign Messi right now.
My hero.
Who
I'm
he doesn't
it.
Want. Who he doesn't want.
I'm changing my hero to whoever created that rumor, whoever let that rumor go out into the media for causing this comedy. But that's who my hero is, the guy who leaked the rumor.
And like, we should point out that the whole basis of this rumor is the fact that apparently in 2021, next year, when Messi's contract expires, he'll be able to go anywhere for free. Or I don't know if his contract expires or if I think there's a clause in his current contract that he's able to pick a club that he's able to leave for free if he wants. So the idea is because he's disgruntled with Barcelona right now, if you're to believe the rumors that he could be going to Inter next year or as late as next year. But, okay, fair.
My stronzo, I want to give my stronzo quick. My stronzo is going to the Italian Football Association chief, Gabriele Gravina, who apparently is looking into establishing an MLS is back style thing for the Serie A season, which is to do like a group stage. So like, I don't know the exact specifications of what the plan is, but to form some kind of group stage tournament. And it would be, I'm looking right now, potentially four groups of five or two groups of 10, with the top 12 clubs going on to a playoff for the Scudetto, at the bottom eight doing likewise to determine the relegating team. I don't know. Apparently because they're worried about not having enough time to do the 38 match days. That sounds like absolute nonsense to me. That sounds, while it would be electric as hell, it's nonsensical. Like, can you imagine finishing in 12th place and then potentially getting relegated? Like, you know what?
I heard this theory.
It's crazy. If you don't get a point, the don't financial get, implications.
Okay, like, I'm gonna shout out Barry Glendening of Guardian Sport. I love the man. He's fucking hilarious. Irish writer at the Guardian. Okay, he's on Guardian Football Weekly. He has a theory that if you can't get 38 points in a season, 1 point per game, you should get relegated. Now, I don't know how serious he actually thinks that.
But that's such a blanket statement. It's cool, but it's a blanket statement.
How unreal would that be? Imagine you have like six teams going down. Even though the six teams coming up wouldn't necessarily be better, they would be.
That's where the flaw is, right?
They would be different. It would be exciting for that reason alone. I would love a 12th through 20th relegation play out. That would be unreal. It'll never happen. Really? Let's be.
It's chaos, bro. It's nonsense.
It won't happen. You can give it to Gravina because I agree. It's a fucking bordello.
Like, I don't want to sound like too much of a purist, but like, just for like the integrity of the sport, like Fiorentina right now are on 43 points, and just compare them to Spal, who are on 20 points. Can you imagine, like, out of just like a crapshoot, Spal stayed up like today and Fiorentina got relegated? Like, it's nonsense. The club would be destroyed. You have so many bills to pay because you accumulate, right? Like, your wage bill or your wealth as a club over time. And if you just like get the ground pulled out from under you and you're locked into contracts for like 3-4 years, paying a 40-year-old Frank Ribery probably like 60K a week.
That's how clubs go bankrupt in Italy, to be fair.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You don't deserve to go bankrupt finishing mid-table in a competitive league.
It won't happen. But okay, you're Thrones of the Week, fair.
I'm a little bit of a purist in that. Yeah, to the chief, the FA chief. I've already forgot his name. For even considering.
Gabriele Gravina. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair. Nick, I have a couple of more heroes here. I'm not doing a Thronzo this week. I don't have a Thronzo. I don't know why. Maybe because we won the Scudetto again. I'm in a good mood. Yeah, I don't have a Stronzo. I'm copping out. Instead, I'm gonna just lay on a couple of heroes here. Quick fire. Crotone for getting automatic promotion back up to Serie A, finishing second in Serie B behind Benevento. We've got two southern teams automatically going up, which I love to see personally. Nice little bit of diversity in the league. And we have a couple of teams from the south that could yet still get promotion. I believe Salernitana are still in the hunt, who would be, I think anyway, the most interesting team to go up for their derby with Napoli.
Seeing Giampiero Ventura
exactly
in the flesh, if he's still alive.
that too. It'll give us more content to talk about. That's one thing for sure. Crotone. Also, big up to Crotone for dedicating their entire promotion campaign to Sergio Mascheroni, their I believe physical therapist or physio. They refer to the term in Italian is preparatore fisico, but he died in a car crash earlier in the season, back in October or November, I believe. So they dedicated the entire promotion campaign to him. And on social media, when they went up, they posted his face up along the their kind of slogan for having gone back up to Serie A with a big A. Yeah, so his face was up there. His wife was quoted as saying, quote, Sergio vi ha fatto correre da lassù. Sergio made them run or made you guys run from up there, kind of looking down on you. So yeah, beautiful story. They were obviously very motivated to get back up, and great to see them back up. You know, I enjoyed having them in Serie A a couple of years ago. Under Davide Nicola had one of those fucking incredible, one of those
great escapes,
one of those incredible Houdini like relegation escapes. And my third and final hero of the week, just because I don't have any Stronzi, I'll give a third hero. I'm gonna give it to Regina, the club. Not to be confused with Reggiana in Reggio Emilia, but Regina in Reggio di Calabria, the the second, third, one of the behind Crotone, one of the top Calabrese clubs, probably the most successful Calabrese club of all time, I'd say, just on the basis of the fact they've had a couple of spells in Serie A. Well, they're back up to Serie B from Serie C, and they have signed Kyle Lafferty from Sunderland. Bro, Northern Irish international. This guy, man, keeps coming back to Italy. I don't know what it is. He loves Southern Italy. He's played at Palermo. He's a fucking lad, man. He's one guy who, if I can get on anyone in Italian football right now on the podcast, it may be him. It may be him. In the top two divisions, are you kidding me? The fact, like how well he, you know, just his perfect fluency in English. The fact that he speaks English super well, I think he'd be a perfect candidate to come on this podcast. So we may have to reach out to the Regina press officer and try to make.
I wonder how well he speaks Italian. He played outside of Regina. He played when he played for Palermo. He played 34 appearances. A whole season.
So I'm sure his Italian's probably ass because he hasn't played in Italy very long. But the fact that he's been in Italy before, the fact that he's coming back, I like it. I don't know, just a fucking legend for his country. I mean, he's been playing for Northern Ireland for a good 15 years, confirming here. Yeah, so since 2006, he's got 20 goals and 73 caps, which is not bad at all for them. He's led the line for them in a couple of major tournaments. No, but for a team like Northern Ireland, man, who are up against the ropes in a lot of games against bigger opposition. I mean, the fact that he's played in Italy a couple of times is fucking cool. He's had a random-ass career. He's bounced the hell around the past 5 years as well. So yeah, just a complete lad. Love to see guys like that
and Menez are gonna be ripping it up.
So Regina quietly,
is going on like Regina a on like a FIFA. Built. They're going like on a FIFA yeah. on like a FIFA style where you get these old guys at the end of their careers
who have attitude problems and who like partying a little too much. I mean, just between the two of them, they have a couple of. I don't know if Lafferty has. I don't know if he has
they have Germain Dennis also, who was pretty prolific for Atalanta, I believe, for a long time. Argentinian striker.
Okay. I confirmed what I was looking up there. So I thought he had a rap sheet of some kind, Lafferty. Well what it is he got charged by the Football Association in I think 2016, it says, for having committed a misconduct by having placed bets. So he was fined £23,000. So yeah. So between the two of them, Jeremy Menez and Kyle Lafferty, they have a rap sheet, misconduct charges for having placed bets on matches and for having made a porno. Great fucking combo. Rangers legend. I can't wait to see him in City of B. I'll honestly be following that one. I keep getting Regina news from Mango because his dad's from the area, so he loses his mind every time they sign someone, and just fits the narrative of the people we love talking about on the podcast. Love it. That'll be interesting to follow. Why don't we take it away to Nick Di Giovanni right now? We'll get to our five aside. Little Azzurri interlude in the month of July. Let's go. All right, so we are so happy to welcome to the podcast, to the Cultural Podcast, a man from another podcast with an eerily similar name whose show I appeared on last week, The Cultural Guys, not to be confused with us. You could be forgiven for confusing the two of us, given the fact that we have so many similarities between us, not to mention the fact that we have two guys named Nick from Montreal on the pod.
Juventus fans.
Nicholas Di Giovanni, welcome to the Calcio Podcast.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me. Like you said, last week, it was weird for you being on the other side. Now it's weird for me being on this side because if you ever listen to our podcast, I'm always the guy just like asking Adriano and Gianni the questions, kind of like, you know, mediator. You know, I'm not – I kind of stay away from those hot takes. So for me, this is a bit different.
I think we're a little bit more of a wild card pod than you would start. Yeah.
We hot take little, artists.
We're kind of a little bit more all over the map. But yeah, no, you are correct. When I was on your pod last week, you go, Sam, welcome to the pod. I said, thanks for joining me. Because I was just so used to the tables being turned. But anyway, happy to have you on, buddy. Happy to have on a fellow Juventino. Auguri, by the way. Thanks for supporting.
When does it get? How many is it going to take for it to get boring when they win their 10th and then their 11th?
Well, I was just thanking.
It's never boring.
I was just this season was not boring. I was just thanking Nick for his unwavering support. As a fellow Juventino, I thank you for sticking with the club through what was a terrible year overall. If you ask most Juventini, which is probably nuts for any one of the other 19 Serie A fans to listen to it here, but it really does feel that way. Am I right? You share that sentiment?
Yeah, this year was a weird year for sure. Like, I didn't expect Juve to win it with three games left. Like, if you asked me at the break, I thought this was going to be a last match day title. Honestly, at the break, I didn't even think Juve would win it so easily. Lazio had a huge shot at winning it. So it was definitely exciting. I mean, in my opinion, I think other seasons have been a bit more exciting, like 2015-16. Where they were in 12th place, I believe, after 10 match days, or 10th place after 12 match days, I forget.
Yeah, we were way down in the table, and we clawed all the way back up until like February. Loss,
exactly. They had a loss to Sassuolo in October, and that was like the low point. And then they beat Napoli in February, and that was a turning point. 2 years ago with the win against Inter, you know, I think those were more dramatic in terms of just the one game, but I think this year it pulled out over a whole season.
But you know, I didn't even think, I mean, we're having Nick on the pod to take part in our segment, to take part in our weekly five aside, and the intent wasn't really to talk too much Juve, but like, we're getting into it now, man. I'll tell you it really didn't feel like we had a dominant season at all, and I think we really benefited from the fact that Lazio and Inter really dropped the ball since restart, and we definitely did as well. We have not looked sharp for the past, I guess, month, for the past 2-3 weeks, just on the basis of the fact that
we
had a couple of opportunities to close it out
vulnerable.
And we haven't.
Like, nobody's used to seeing Juventus vulnerable. No. I think that's what made this year feel like the most different, you know, like knowing that dropping a 2-goal lead was becoming a normality in the last few weeks, you know.
Well, it was also
like we're so not used to seeing that, like with the Juventus, you know, like identity and culture. I think that's what probably made this like so much more of a standout year too, even though
definitely
one. But you know what, I was in Rome when they lost to Lazio in December, and you know, Lazio fans were celebrating on the streets like they just won the Champions League. I couldn't sit in the, you know, with the Juve fans because you need a special ticket, this and that. So I had to sit in the Lazio fans. They were saying, you know, a casa, andate a casa. You know, obviously seeing that, it was my first Serie A game, so it was cool to see that atmosphere in a way. But inside, I was like,
baptism by fire.
Yeah.
I want these
people to shut up.
Yeah. My first Serie A game was also against Lazio. My first ever match in Italy was also against Lazio.
You both experienced L's.
Yeah, I think I spoke about it a little bit on your pod last week.
The same stadium.
It was a Juve game you went to?
Yeah, it was Lazio.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I watched Cristiano's first match in Torino last year, which was against Lazio, and the first game that I'd ever seen in Italy was the year prior in the Supercoppa. At the Olimpico, where we lost to Lazio. I'm getting confused. I didn't mention it on your pod. I mentioned it on Turin Giants a week ago. But yeah, anyway, people on this pod have heard me talk about it many a time. But listen, the one thing I'll say is I think the squad needs a major overhaul, and I think we really hobbled over the line. I think it's clear that in order to win this 10th one in a row now, with Inter coming gunning for us now, I don't think Lazio are going to have an easy time of replicating the season they did, but I think Inter are probably going to be in a really good position to do so. And I think so too. I really think Milan could be a little bit closer to top four. Atalanta, if they can kind of, you know, keep most of their big players.
Napoli maybe.
I'm not as worried about Napoli as I am about Milan and Atalanta, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I see it as being a very challenging season where if we don't revamp the squad in the very short offseason, then I could see us seriously falling back. So I think this season overall was kind of one where I think there are a couple of warning signs going forward if we want to kind of replicate the success domestically.
Yeah.
But alas, any other comments before we get into the five aside on the season overall? Just overall takeaways.
Because I can't wait for the new season to start again.
We still have Champions League too.
It's gonna be real fun
when we go out to Lyon. Yeah. We go out to Lyon.
It's gonna be in a week's time.
It's gonna be real.
But it's their first competitive match, so I think Juve got the advantage for that. But after that, I don't know. every year I'm optimistic. I want them to win the Champions League. You always want, as a fan, you always want your team to win, but will they? I don't know. I don't think so.
The one-off games makes it a little bit more interesting. I will say that, where I think it's a little bit more of a crapshoot. If you can get by Lyon, if Napoli can get by Barcelona, you know, if Man City or Real Madrid can get by one another, then I think it's anyone's. I really think it can be anyone's tournament. And the fact that it's going to be a little less of a grind and a little bit more of a sprint. But yeah, so that's a week away. That'll be interesting to break down in a week's time. But let's focus on that now. Let's focus on this week's segment, boys. It's the five aside of most random call-ups that we could think of. The initial intent was for it to be most random most random Azzurri call-ups. I beg your pardon. But you know, in the event that there's any crossover here, we're not going to put ourselves in a box and just limit it only to Azzurri, to Azzurri senior team call-ups. It could be any call-up that you deem to be random. It could be an Italian player getting called up by a foreign country. It could be a Serie A call up, a player getting called up to a first team.
Okay, but that's if we run out of the top picks.
Ideally, there will be no cheating. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how. I mean, obviously, as we mentioned,
it's in our back pocket.
The running joke is that our podcasts are very similar. Let's see if we think in similar ways here too. we'll let our guests go first. Of course, there is no tactical requirement that you need to fulfill here, but if you are a little bit OCD, you can go full goalkeeper, two center backs, midfielder, striker, whatever you choose.
Sam, you yours, second, Nick? Me third.
We could do that. Let's give the floor to Juventino Nick.
So for me, I chose a head coach. I'm going to start off saying Luigi Di Biagio as a coach because he did coach the national team after Ventura. Terrible coach at the U21 level.
Very sad.
He didn't really have a chance to do anything at the national level. It was just kind of a random, you know, coach put in there. So he's got to be the coach of this random players team.
He's
in Nets,
like the epitome.
You're coming
like
and firing.
He's the epitome of loser. Like, nothing with a good U21 team. Did nothing in his time with the national team. Just got SPAL relegated.
How sad was that period, bro? We just got eliminated from World Cup before it even started. We lost to fucking Sweden in the last qualifying match. Ventura was an absolute cuck of a manager. Complete excuse maker.
Who's that guy these days?
Was a loser. Salernitana. Nick.
Still?
Yeah.
You know what? He may get promoted.
They're in the fight. They're in the fight to get promoted.
I hope to God happens because that was a highlight of last season, was talking about the donkeys and seeing Ventura get dragged through the mud as Chievo Verona were doing shit last year. but I agree with that one, Nick. That's Again, I think it's kind of representative of the fact that was just a garbage period overall, and it was like to add salt to the wound, or to add insult to injury, to rub salt in the wound. Here's this sucker of a U21 manager as an interim for one game. That was just so weird. Yeah. No. Okay. Good call.
Yeah.
By the way, Nick and I don't have coaches.
Okay. I chose it just to choose.
I could think of one. No, I like that one.
Play on, go off the dome here. We'll see if we come up with anyone. But yeah, starting in goal for you, Nick.
Starting goal, Carlo Cudicini. He played 141 games for Chelsea from 2000 to 2009. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I mean, a good goalkeeper in the Premier League. Never really made it for Italy. He got called up once in 2002. Didn't see the pitch. It was for a friendly against Turkey.
I mean, this guy did his research. He's coming to a guy who didn't even get a pass. Yes.
I got some good info on some of my players.
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember? I didn't know who this guy was.
Pre-Petr Cech.
I remember. Yeah. So Nick, we're gonna go in a snake draft. So it's gonna go to Sam, and then it's gonna go to me, and then back to Sam. Then we'll do it like that.
Okay.
Nick, if you can come up with a coach, that's Nick Jens.
I will eventually.
Okay. Well, if you have one right now, you could fucking go ahead of me here, because I have no idea who I'm picking for as a coach.
We'll keep coach cooking in the back of our minds while we're making our picks here.
Okay. Fair. Well, actually, you know what? I'll pick a coach right now. It's not going to be an Azzurri one, because most national team coaches are not random picks, and they're long term ones. You could argue that Donadoni, Ventura were random in and of themselves, but I think the whole point of this is that, you know, the random call-ups we're thinking of are usually going to have been like flashes in the pan, or not really have had that much of an impact. You're going to almost forget that they even existed. So I won't go with them. Instead, I'll go with a Juve coach. I'll go with, was it Massimo Carrara? Conte's assistant, who I believe managed Juve for like a very short period of time. I think he was behind the bench. I don't know if he was head coach at any point in time as an interim, or if maybe like Conte was sick or something. Massimo Carrara and Angelo Alessio were in his backroom staff, and they both coached Juve for a couple of Champions League games, I think, at one point. Carrara actually went on to have a decent career at Spartak Moscow. I don't know where the hell he is right now, but I'll give it to them because they were kind of Conte's yes men who got to manage Juve for a couple of games. And I remember people on Twitter were like, what happened to Conte? Who are these guys? People who weren't really following what was going on. So I'll go with them. It's starting in goal. I don't have a goalkeeper that is a goalkeeper proper. So I'm going to have to put the little man, Franco Vasquez, in goal. I don't know if you remember this guy, Nick.
So
he's gone on to have a relatively successful career at Sevilla. He was one of many South Americans to come through at Palermo. But I think he had like Italian lineage on his mother's side. I think his mother might have been from Liguria. And he played one game for the national team. And funnily enough, Roberto Mancini came out and criticized management at the time because Eder and Franco Vasquez both got called up, and he was saying that Italians should be born in that Italians who are playing for the national team should be born in Italy. Ironically, I read recently that he a couple of months ago was looking to try to get Martinelli from Arsenal to come to Italy.
Who, the irony.
But yeah, I guess you know it's easy to throw stones from glass houses. But he's actually.
I believe Franco Vadquez has been capped by Argentina.
So that's the kicker. He's gone on to play for Argentina a couple times, and I think just a very random fucking call up for us because of the fact that he basically cucked Italy. He was like, yeah, I'll play for Italy because they called me up first. But his intention was never to play for us. And as soon as a competitive call up came for Argentina, he was like, I've been Argentine this whole time. I've been waiting for this day.
National glory hunter.
So Franco Vasquez for me, number one, starting in goal. I remembered him being a lot shorter than he was. According to Wikipedia, he's 6'2". So I don't know why. Maybe I assume because he was like a little number 10 in my mind. I assumed he was a little man, but he actually could be.
It's not. That's how forgettable he was.
There we go.
He wasn't that good.
No.
Franco Vasquez for me.
So my theme, I managed to stay within major tournament squads. So that's the theme that I kept for my picks. I have a couple here.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give my number one to I think I'm going to have to give it to Stefano Sturaro getting called up at Euro 2016.
I knew this was coming.
Like, I don't even think I have to give any explanation or any reasoning as to why this is one of the most random. He is so bad. Like, he is so bad. And I bet, like, you could really pick, I guess, like a quarter of that 2016 team and make a bunch of cheap picks and say, like, random call-up. So I only decided to take one from that year.
If anyone picks Eder as a random call up, I will fight you because he was a random call up, but he was a stalemate in the team for 2 years. So you can't pick Eder because like it or not, even though he was a random inclusion in the squad over a period of time,
he played in competitive games. So I'm not disagreeing with that.
Is it his one? Does he have like one cap? And I think it was against Germany in that quarterfinal. So,
no, I think he had. Well, yeah, maybe one competitive one. Maybe one competitive cap, but he has four total caps with the team. So maybe one competitive one, but yeah.
I will admit I had him in my list, but I was expecting you to pick him at one point. As soon as I found out that you were going only off of competitive tournament squads, I was like, Sturaro's definitely not getting in the next team. So all okay, right, fair. I'll have to juggle around. Oh fuck, we're going right back. We're coming right back at me.
Snake draft. Yeah.
Okay, coming in hot. I'll go with Simone Barone. Now you're gonna
Don't I get two?
Yeah. You didn't name. Unless Sturaro's your keeper,
we're off the rails.
No. For snake draft, don't I have to do two
picks?
Yeah,
you do.
And then it goes
do.
Back. Yeah, I screwed that one up, boys. Okay, sorry. Okay, next one. I know I have a ton. Don't worry.
If you pick Simone Barone, I'm gonna fucking try. I'm gonna strangle you through this.
No. I didn't pick him because I was wondering if it was random enough because he made like two consecutive squads. He made two consecutive. But anyway, Sam, you'll get into it after. I think for me, number two is Balzaretti on the 2012 national team. He has 16 caps.
He was so good.
he was good in that short time frame, but absolutely irrelevant before and after the tournament. Like, he had 16 caps, and I believe I read into it, and I was doing my research. He only became a starter as of the third game, and then played consecutively thereon until the final. So he probably got whatever a good 3-4 caps under his belt just in that tournament, and the rest were probably stupid qualifiers that we were winning to make the Euro, and that's it. Like, he was only there for the good freaking however long the Euro was, 5 weeks, and then completely irrelevant.
He played as a right back in the semifinal against Germany. Yep. Versatile, yep. Man. You'll love to see it, because I think Abate may have gotten injured or suspended.
Now he's a commentator on DAZN in Italy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a commentator or a journal. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah.
Fair play. Okay, Federico Baldetti. Honestly, before FIFA 12, I never really heard of this guy. To be fair, I was only like 14. Before FIFA 11, FIFA 12, and I was following Serie A lightly, and he had actually played for Juve. Just kind of before, in the years before I really started following them that closely. I think he might have been
Palermo's where he made his name.
But Palermo and Roma. He actually secured a transfer to Roma right after that, and was a stalemate
flopped.
In that squad for a couple years.
He okay. Yeah, and got injured all the time. He was always injured.
Roma weren't. Yeah, actually, I was gonna say Roma weren't of the top quality that year. But there was actually one year, I think in 13-14, where they were like in first place for the first couple months of the season. I think he may have still been the team at the time.
All right, you
of course, no Alaban the Pep on the pod means no more fact checking, so we can only speculate. Yeah. So Simone Barone, cats out of the bag. I already mentioned it. Now look, this one may be a little bit harsh because he has 15 caps and he scored for the Azzurri, but his career lasted 2 years in the national team. And it basically fizzled out after the World Cup in 2006. And he made that one appearance. He made that one appearance against the Czech Republic. And the reason that I'm including him in this one is because of all the memes that have come out since 2006. In the past 14 years, I've seen so many memes about him having been included in that squad and comparisons to Leo Messi, like Simone Barone ha giocato 72 volte per Palermo, Messi no. Simone Barone has played in Serie A, Messi no, and then the ultimate one. Yeah, yeah.
He's still waiting for that pass from Inzaghi.
I was gonna say, and then the ultimate thing is he's still waiting for that pass from Simone from Pippo Inzaghi, who could have totally sweat it to him in that goal to cement the 2-0 victory. But of course, Pippo being Pippo, poacher that he was, he just
needs his goals.
I think it must have been Petr Cech in goal.
I guess, and you know
what the crazy thing was he was doing that thing where he looked like he was going to finish and he could have had the clear blind pass to Barone right in behind for him to finish from like 6 yards out. But instead, he kind of tiptoed, and boop, he went left to where Barone was, but he finished it himself. And he was maybe like 2 meters away from where Barone was when the goal went in. I don't know, just something about him. The fact that I never really heard about him much after that, the fact that he didn't have that memorable career in Serie A, kind of makes you wonder where he even came from in the first place. Simone Barone, fucking random in my mind, because he's forever cemented in my brain as one of those guys that won the World Cup, but I don't really know much else about him.
All right, so I'm going to go with kind of a wild card, Luis Felipe. Believe it or not, he was actually called up by the U21 team for Italy Di Biagio, and he actually refused. So I don't know if that is considered within your rules. It is a call-up.
It is.
Luis and Felipe.
He just did it. Yeah, he's Brazilian from Lazio.
The left back, Sam.
Yeah. No? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, the center back. Okay, yeah.
He's Brazilian-Italian, so he is eligible to play for the Italian team. Di Biagio thought, hey, you know what? I'll call him up. He called him up, and he said, no, I want to play for Brazil. So I think as Italian fans, we could only hope Brazil tells him no so that eventually he plays for the Italian national team. But
we want him badly.
He's good now. Sure. I just remember, I think it was 2 years ago, whenever Lazio played Milan in the, I think it was the Coppa semi-final. I remember, I think it was like 2018. He caused like one of the major mistakes in that game where he like left someone completely unmarked and just had like a brutal game. And I just remember, and he shanked a penalty. And I was like, this guy sucks. And then like 2 years later, he's actually pretty solid.
Nah, he's dead to me. Anyone that refuses a call up once, no. Imagine,
still no call ups to Brazil though. Still no call. He's 23. So
imagine getting called up to Italy and saying no. Imagine you, Nick, whichever Nick. I'm looking.
But at I'm not Brazilian. We're not Brazilian.
No, yeah, no. Well, we could play for the Canadian national team.
That's true.
But imagine how much it means to you, and for a guy to say no, thanks, I'm good, I'll pass. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, given how much it means to some people, I would say fuck off if you want to refuse it once.
Well,
you
might be regretting it though.
Yeah, well, I feel like at the end of the day, he's gonna end up with Italy. We'll see. We'll see.
Okay, back to you, Nick. Then.
Okay. You might not remember him playing for the national team, Emiliano Moretti, the Torino defender, or now retired Torino defender.
Yeah.
He was the oldest ever player to debut for the national team.
Christ, yeah, that was a couple years ago.
33 years old back in November 2018 versus Albania. Albania played two games. And don't forget, this is the Conte era. I think we all should have seen just how bad, you know, like the talent that Conte was picking.
Yeah,
I think we should have seen from the start. He was always going for the scrubs. If he was taking Moretti, you know, obviously he was a good defender for Torino, but Torino is like a fringe mid-table team. Yeah. And this guy was old at that point.
Kind of makes you wonder why they would call up Francesco Caputo at the same age, at 33.
Oh, at least he's scoring goals.
same logic.
Chicho for La Nazionale.
so of course we alluded to this last week on the pod, but yeah, at the Calcio guys, they got a hard on for Chicho and want him and want him to lead the line
ever since last year.
That's what he
said. His little beer celebration.
It's a good celebration.
It's eerily reminiscent of the Toronto Italians who were advocating for Giovinco to get called up to La Nazionale to be the.
Giovinco was scoring goals in the MLS.
No comment.
Show a fringe of respect. Okay, Sam, number three for you.
So this one's a bit of a weird one. Okay, I'm gonna need to give you a little bit of context, because you're gonna hear me say the name up. You're gonna hear me say the name straight up, and you're gonna say, "What the fuck? What are you on?" But hear me out. Nicolò Zaniolo, circa 2018. So of course we all know Nicolò Zaniolo as being one of the most dominant attacking midfielders in Serie A right now. Super versatile. Rumored to be going to Juve. You know, stalemate in Roma's team, will probably be a very important cog in Mancini's team next year at the Euro if all goes well. So how the hell could it be random if he's called up? Well, two years ago.
Yeah.
I remember. So he had just gotten swapped for Raja Nainggolan to Roma. Mm-hmm. Still laughing about that one and that video of that one Inter fan who, right after the deal went through in his car, pulled up on the side of the road.
I don't know if I have it.
Raja Nainggolan. Raja Nainggolan.
Yeah, amazing.
Chris Cauchy, do your thing, buddy. You're listening back to the pod here. You got to find that clip, Chris, to share it on social media. But yeah, so Nicolò Zaniolo, who I thought was just this throw-in, basically was a throw-in in the Nainggolan deal.
So they thought.
Great piece of business by Roma. He had only really played, I think, a couple of senior games at Entella and really just featured in the Inter youth team the year prior. So when he got called up in 2018, I was like, what the fuck? Who is this kid? I'm like
yeah,
this,
it was
gone. I'm all for young Italians. But he had barely even been capped at U21 level, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, good on Mancini for having the foresight on that one. But very random at the time.
Okay, I like that one.
Back to Jess.
I just looked it up. He played his first he was called up for the first time before even playing in the Serie A.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he had only played in the Serie B.
That's nuts.
But he didn't play that time though. He was just called up.
Okay, fair. But you know, nevertheless, I remember when it happened. Yeah. I was fucking mind blown. So, yeah, Nick, back to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna dip back into the 2012 team, and I'm gonna go with the legend who came from England, who then decided to pursue his career back in Italy. It's Fabio Borini, one cap for the national team. It did not come in Euro 2012. He rode pine the entire time.
I think that one cap was in a friendly against the U.S. in Genova earlier that year. I swear to God. I remember.
It was. It was. I just looked.
We were in grade nine. We were in grade nine, the month of May. The squad came out, and I found out Fabio Borini got into the team, and I celebrated so hard because he was like a young Italian. He was 21 years old, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is unreal. This is the shit we like to see.
Yeah, so this one's more of like a retrospective, just like yours was almost. Yeah, like yours was a retrospective. Yes. Well, sorry. No, 100%. This is. Yours was not retrospective. Mine is. Sorry, maybe my brain in a pretzel over here. I'm looking back.
Well, I mean,
now.
We're all the time.
He was 21, right? No, but at the time he was 21, so maybe he was married.
No, but now, like, but now, now,
now it's fucking right? random.
It's random that he got called up for a major tournament. I agree, 100%.
Do you remember he scored a huge goal in the U21 tournament against the Netherlands?
Yes, against Spain or the Netherlands? Yeah,
the Netherlands in the semifinal.
With his bleached hair,
they lost to Spain.
He had bleached hair, I think, in that tournament.
And that was a good team. Insigne, Immobile, Borini.
Yeah,
he was the captain. I believe I'm looking out. Borini was the captain of that team, actually, of the U19.
He was not. Of the U19 of the U19 team. That's
the Euro team.
It was U21.
No, you know who was the captain of that team? I believe it was Luca Caldirola, which was so fucking random.
Yeah. God knows what that guy's doing now.
Another random.
Florenzi was on that team.
Yeah, no, Caldirola's playing in Germany now. Yeah, he's been a career lower league Bundesliga player.
He's at Benevento, actually. He was in Germany for the longest time.
Yeah. No. He's been in Serie B for a while. Actually, so he'll be coming back up to Serie A. Yeah. Yeah, gents, why don't you get into your next one then? Number four for you. Attacking mid four. In your five-a-side here, which has no goalkeeper.
It's not going to be properly oriented. Yeah. My next one is extremely random. And an added bonus is that it's hilarious for us living in Montreal. And those of you who watch the MLS, it's Matteo Ferrari, who made the 2004 Euro squad.
I was thinking about him today.
Yeah, you're thinking about. I think about him every day.
Just another day of the office. Yeah, I was thinking about him today.
I always think about him. No, but like it's so random. He made 11 career appearances. I believe he was also eligible for the Algerian national team because he was born in Algeria, I believe.
Yeah. Which in Montreal, I remember the joke was that the Italians and the Algerians in Montreal are going to fight over him. They're going to say, he's Italian, he's Algerian. They're going to fucking fight on Jean Talon. Local reference. Yeah.
But he won a bronze medal at the Olympics in 2004. But other than that, I mean, like, as if we're going to start counting bronze medals as achieving something. But
man.
So random. Played for our beloved Montreal Impact. For those who live in the city of Montreal, like just
him and Nesta together were amazing.
I remember he scored
the game winning goal. Is that what you're going to talk about?
And he scored an injury time winning goal in this.
I was at that game. I was at that game.
So was I. I remember
sitting behind the net.
Me too. Yes. I was.
Too? I don't remember.
Yeah, okay, we weren't together. We were with different groups and we got tickets through school. I remember we got tickets for that game.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
It was unreal.
And he like took his shirt off. That was legendary.
Crazy. Yeah. So no.
81 appearances with the Impact. That's
always
as many.
Always have a soft spot in my heart for that reason.
The most other appearances he had in another club was Parma with 81. So like, respect. Impact are right there for him. Yeah.
Respect. Okay. So I mentioned Gabriel Martinelli before. He's of course never gotten called up by Italy. I hope he does. He's my number four because. I'm going off of virtual call-ups here. In my latest football manager save, I've been manager of the Italian national team, and I got tipped off to the fact that he has an Italian father. Obviously, he has an Italian name, but apparently he has an Italian passport, and he has an EU passport.
Mm-hmm.
And he has EU eligibility as a result. So I begged him to play for Italy, and sure enough, I got him cap-tied at 18. The media grilled me, and they were like, are you
they
sure
need to hire you.
No, and the media grilled me after saying, did you just give him his first call-up? Did you sub him in at the last minute just so that he would be fucked over and never able to play for Brazil?
It actually said that?
They asked me, did you do it to just ensure that he... That you,
oh, okay.
That's crazy.
To ensure that he's yours. And I fervently denied it, but I didn't call him up for 2 years. he's in my setup now. But yeah, so this is more of a wishful one. But yeah, Gabriel Martinelli, who apparently is considering playing for Italy, but... is one of those things that probably won't happen. Based on what I've heard anyway. Again, I'm not in his entourage. Shout out Vinny Chase. But
especially when you're good enough to probably play for like the primary. Like, I know he's Italian, like Italian last name, but obviously like he's born in Brazil.
Well,
right?
Well, if you're born in Brazil, if you're born in Brazil, you feel Brazilian, you grew up watching Brazil. And
he's good enough to make the, and he's good enough to play for them, right?
But you know, it's a personal, but it's a personal decision. You don't know, right? He's 2 years younger.
No, I'm just saying you would have to think. I'm just saying you would have to think.
Again, like we're Canada, one of the top footballing nations out there. I'd still want to play for Italy because I just, I have an emotional bond to them.
The bigger disparity, but there's also a bigger disparity.
Yeah, I know, but I'm thinking theoretically.
You're not going to a World Cup playing for Canada.
No, but I'm thinking theoretically.
Maybe you will in 2024.
2026.
Sorry, 2026.
Never give up on the dream. Yeah, 29 years old. 29 years old playing in the high level amateur divisions. That'd be some fucking story.
oh yeah.
Listen. Anyway, that's more of a wishful one. It's a virtual one, but Gabriel Martinelli for me, very random because I didn't even know that he was eligible. And I looked it up, and there are articles on it, like from the Sun and the Mirror, and all those trashy
newspapers,
the reliable sources,
the good stuff. Only mildly more reliable sources than us at the Calcio Podcast. Yeah. Di Giovanni, your final two,
4 and 5.
So
yeah.
You guys are gonna like this one, Stefano Bettarini. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I don't know who that is.
No. He played. He played for about 10 different clubs from 1991 to 2005. Half his career in Serie B, half his career in Serie A.
And bear in mind, my footballing memory barely goes back earlier than 2006. So a recency bias, like disclaimer, if anyone watched football before 2006, if anyone's born like, you know, earlier than 1995, like any middle demographic millennials who are listening to this who remember like football in the 90s and 2000s are probably like punching the air right now, all the fucking ones that we're missing. But
yeah.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with him.
But so this guy, he played, he was kind of a nobody as a player. He got called up in 2004 again by Trapattoni. He started a friendly against the Czech Republic, and that was the only game he played in. It was a friendly. And after he retired, he was on Big Brother, the Italian version, in 2016.
I just saw that right now. Yeah.
And now he's the host of Isla dei Famosi, which is the equivalent of Survivor in Italy.
Yeah.
So this guy's went from national team player to
that's a good one. Holy crap.
To
that's unreal.
TV presenter.
What a career, man. Imagine you just get one call up with the national team, get a cushy TV job.
Never pay for drinks for the rest of your life. You have unlimited I don't know if he's married, but if not you could play that card anytime you go out to a bar play the odds. I'm sure he's living large, man.
And so my other one,
he had to be a hot commodity in the Big Brother house.
You look at pictures. He's a good looking guy.
Former, but good looking or not, just former Azzurro, just like in terms of clout.
National team.
Come on,
the guy wore the badge, wore it with pride against the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Okay. So my last one is kind of like Franco Vasquez. So I did go outside of Italy this time.
Okay.
I went with Wilfried Zaha. He was called up twice for the England national team, and now he plays for the Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
2012, 2013, he was called up for friendlies, played actually in two friendlies, but because they were friendlies, he was allowed to join the Ivory Coast eventually. So now he's Ivory Coast international. But I remember
he's
in like FIFA 12, FIFA 13, even up to FIFA 15, I think. Like he had the England flying up.
Now he's ripping it up on Congolese pitches at the Africa Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
In stadiums with huge running tracks and palm trees in the background.
And terrible refereeing.
And goalkeepers that pick up the ball outside the box.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I have one player on the bench as an honorable mention.
You could do it because your number 5 was in Italian. So you kind of cheated with that one, but I can't be mad at you because I said Gabriel Martinelli, who doesn't even exist in the realm of real Azzurri call ups. So
this guy is Italian, Brian Cristante.
Oh yeah,
I leave him on the bench because it was a call up that never happened, but apparently the Canada Soccer wanted him. Pretty much up until the day he played competitively for Italy.
I remember TSN, Canadian major, sport broadcasting network.
The Sports Network.
Yeah, the Sports Network or Toronto Sports Network, as Canadians not in Toronto would have you believe. But yeah, just a little context if you're from outside of Canada. But yeah, I remember they made a big deal out of it. Like, as soon as he played his first game for Italy, there were articles posted on TSN like Brian Cristante is no longer. Yeah, yeah.
You gotta have hope.
They made a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was reading an article. Apparently, the coach actually got on the phone with him and spoke to him. So I guess in a way he did call him up, but not in the actual call up, but
even the coach at the time.
I don't know if it
was Zambrano.
Zambrano or
Zambrano.
Flores. I'm looking now. At one point he had the Canadian flag in his Insta bio. I'm checking right now.
Honestly,
he still does.
I think his dad's And is before that, the Italian flag.
His dad is Canadian Italian. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, it would have been smarter for him just to play for the national team, because he's not going to play for the Azzurri. This guy's just, I'm sorry, he's not good enough for the national team. It's too late for him now. He already played for them. I think the smart thing would have done to play Canada, be that star. The only difference, it would have been
difficult for him. He doesn't have any interest. Nah. I mean, come on. He doesn't even speak English.
I'm sure he speaks a bit of English, but it would have been difficult for him to play in the City A and then come to Canada to play the international games that they played on almost like a different schedule. So
yeah,
logistically, wouldn't have made sense.
I think if Brian Cristante gets, so currently he's on 7 caps for Italy. I think if he gets to 15 or 20 caps over his career, he's 25 years old right now. I think that's still worth more to him personally.
I don't see him getting called up anytime soon.
If you have an emotional tie,
he went through his brief period where he actually looked like a promising young player, and now he's bang mediocre at best.
Being an important-ish player in a top-ish City A side.
He's not anymore. I would argue he's not anymore.
I think he'll always be there. I think he'll always be kind of in contention. I think he could get up to 15 caps, and if he does, I think it's worth more than 50 caps for Canada personally.
Guys, I still have three guys on my list that I'm willing to pick. So I'm gonna see if Sam takes one. I still have a lot of guys.
I've got a lot of guys who I'm giving honorable mention to here. So
Go for your fifth one here.
Real tough, but I'll go with, you know, okay. No, he's not random. Okay, I'll go with Sergio Pellissier. Because he has one cap for Italy and he has one goal. He has 100% goal return record.
What a return.
I think his cap came in like 07. You can confirm.
Should I call him up now? Is he still playing?
He's definitely retired. Though I would have loved to have seen him and like Stefano Sorrentino maybe make an appearance in a friendly a year ago before they did retire. I think Sorrentino retired. I could be wrong. Also, you know, every time we bring him up, we should mention that he's a Mr. Gentiletti lookalike. We are going to release the picks one day, but that day is not today, but it will happen someday. But yeah, Pellissier, one game, one goal, hero status. Gentiletti, your last one.
I'm just going to look if he's retired. I believe he's retired. Yeah. Okay. So my last one, I'm going to have to give, I'm going to give it to Paletta at the 2014 World Cup squad.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
to be fair, it wasn't random at the time because he had a good season for Parma.
He went on to have three career appearances.
Played in that England game.
Yeah, and we won. We won.
And had the ugliest hair on that team.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he didn't. I mean, if you're struggling with baldness, that's not a big deal. But just like fucking rock it, man. Just shave it and rock it. I don't know what he's onto. Christ, Christ Almighty! Like for fuck's sake. It almost looked like, I don't know. You ever see on Shutter Island? There were those mental patients who had like hair falling out that were like pulling their hair out. That's kind of what he looked like. He was clinging on to something that was very clearly not there.
I believe he probably started two or three of the group stage matches, and that's literally the only time he's played for the national
team. That's fucking like, random. Yeah, I agree.
Like for a major tournament, you start in a major tournament. Yeah, you start in a fucking World Cup, and then like you don't do anything after that. Like you're done.
Do you have any other honorable mentions, Nick? Since
I'll just rattle them off quickly.
Just a couple. No context. We don't talk about them. Just mention the name and that's it.
Can we see Gratiano Pelé?
Oh yeah.
No,
okay.
No, he was because he was tearing it up in England at the time, and like it made sense. I agree.
It's random. I agree. No, I agree.
In retrospect, at the time it wasn't random.
Any other coach? But
we're not saying at the
him.
Time. We're not saying at the time it was random. I agree. Okay, 2010 squad. Salvatore Bocchetti got called up.
What?
Went on to have 5 career appearances.
Yes.
Got called up to the World
Cup. He wasn't that.
I don't
squad.
Know. What, played, I don't know what was sadder, the 2010 or the 2014 squad. Those are two very.
Salvatore Bocchetti played for Virtus Lanciano, my mom's town, before they went before they Phoenixed into the sixth division.
Also in that team,
2006. By the way, 2010, Simone Pepe is on that team.
Yeah, I left them off because like I don't know, so, he's not that right.
No, bro, like, come on.
I feel
man.
Like he actually did. I didn't even look.
He was decent.
I didn't even look. I feel like he had more appearances. Okay, my last one, 2014 squad as well, was Alessio Cerci. 14
he was
caps.
On that team?
He was on that team. He came off the bench twice, I believe. That's the only competitive he made. Actually, no, sorry. In 2013, he came off the bench in like a Confeds Cup game.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then in 2014, he came off the bench in a game. And those were the only two competitive appearances made. The rest were all friendly. So
my honorable mention.
Remember he got swapped to Milan bottom, but then we swapped him to Atleti for Torres, I believe it was, right? That was like the one for one swap.
There was a clip I remember of him at
like
Atletico
Madrid. Something
like that. And there was a clip of him at Atletico Madrid when he couldn't get a game, and I think he was training and he was doing the in and out warm up that you do, right?
Yeah, I remember this.
Where you just kind of, you know, jump a couple steps and you just warm up your hips. You know, you kind of open your hip up and then you close the hip, and they were doing it over a little hurdle, and I remember he just fucked it up, and I think he clipped the underside of the hurdle, and the hurdle went flying 20 meters in the air, and that was just like a metaphor for his whole time in Atletico Madrid. Like people were laughing at him on Twitter saying, Alessio Cerci's career at Atletico Madrid in a nutshell. Boom, just that clip. My last honorable mention was actually Paolo Rossi. Little throwback. Now, this is a weird one because he was the – I don't even know what the term is. I guess I was going to say capocannoniere. He was the Golden Boot winner in 1982. He was one of the best strikers in Italy at the time. But it was random because of the context of the fact that a lot of people weren't even expecting him to get called up, and the fact that he barely played in a couple of years leading up to that tournament because of his ban for betting or for match fixing or his involvement in a scandal at the time. That was more of a contentious one than a random one. Paolo Rossi is one that I didn't get to mention. Shout out to Amaury also for, I think, getting like one cap. The one name wonder who Juve paid an exorbitant fee for him. For from Palermo. Nick Di Giovanni, do you have any last ones?
I don't. Those are that's my team.
Very impressed with the research you did, son.
Love Thank it. You.
Love it.
I did it during work. I work hard.
There we
Love
go.
Love it.
but yeah, man. Anyway, thanks for joining us, man. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for
having me on.
Thanks for sharing your expertise with us, your research expertise. Very, very, very impressed. That was fun. Nice little throwback, as there is no international football this summer for us.
Yeah.
To talk a little bit about the Azzurri as we
last night I went to the Brick on the one next to Walmart, and
that's a local reference as hell, man. We try not to.
I'm not even going to explain. You know, went to the store.
We know what you're talking about.
I went to the store, and I'm talking to the sales guy there. His name is Nicholas also. And he tells me he was in Germany in 2006 to watch Italy. He was at the group stage games, and he was at the game against Australia. I was like, oh, my God, what a lucky guy. Fuck.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the nostalgia comes back.
I remember watching that game, too. I remember watching. I was in Italy at the time.
Oh, shit.
Venice, I believe. I was like, it's probably my earliest memory of watching.
Oh, you're so fancy, Venice. Ooh.
Yeah, of watching like international football, I would say. I remember, yeah, that game, the Totti scored a penalty shot, I believe, right? Yeah,
I was watching that one with my grandfather. We absolutely lost our minds.
Yeah, right at the end.
I don't know. I just get nostalgic every June, July around this time, and especially this year being a tournament year, and there not having been the tournament, having been postponed. Nick Di Giovanni, I don't know if you know, but we were supposed to go to the tournament. We were supposed to go as media as well. That was So that's all on pause now. We'll see what happens in 2021 now. But yeah, nice to talk a little Azzurri before in light of recent developments. So thanks for joining us, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people check you out? We didn't plug your podcast at the beginning of your appearance. Why don't you just say real quick where people can get at you?
So yeah, we're the Calcio Guys on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and then we put our podcast once a week on Spreaker, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes,
all major platforms,
pretty much all wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Worldwide, Mr. Worldwide, Pitbull, love it, man. Nick, thanks for joining us, bro.
Thanks a lot. We'll have to get together, the five of us, you two plus Adriano and Gianni, when we can, when it's safe to do so.
That's it.
Sounds good. Love it, man. Thanks a lot to Nick DiGiovanni for joining us on the podcast. That was a lot of fun talking a little Azzurri in the dead of summer. Fuck, man, I miss international football, man.
Next summer, we have to wait. We got teased, but we got to wait one more year.
Bring us that vaccine, boys. Come on, Moderna. Is it Moderna? They're in the lead for the vaccine right now.
Come on, lads.
Come on, you Moderna. Bro, honestly, the fucking big pharma company, like you say all the shit you want about big pharma, the big pharma company that comes out with the vaccine that just allows life to go back to normal and that guarantees that the Euro is going to take place.
They're going
to
be just, gassed up.
Bro, just a fucking TIFO. We should just organize a fucking TIFO, man. Just develop
with chance the corporate for logo. There's gonna be no sponsorship issues there at all. No advertising issues.
We just form an ultra group, man, and just like rally around their headquarters and just leap. Oh Moderna. Oh
that'd be pretty Moderna. Legendary.
So anyway, fucking get on that shit. Assuming they're not injecting us with fucking autism or with some other auto-degenerative disease or with cancer cells. God, I don't know. Okay, no conspiracy talk for 3 weeks in a row. Listeners, get at us on all platforms at Calcio Podcast, Instagram, Twitter. We are on TikTok as well. Get at us there again before the Chinese regime have their efforts to spy on us curtailed and before TikTok is taken down. Check out our page there, but more importantly, Twitter, Instagram at Calcio Podcast. That's where it's going down. We're on all platforms. We're on Spreaker, iTunes, SoundClouds, Spotify, all major platforms, the Calcio Podcast. Subscribe to us there and keep on listening. Nick, thanks for joining us this week. Cheers to Nick DiGiovanni again for the guest appearance. A lot of fun. And until next time,
ciao.
Ragazza mia, come sei diversa tu, cresciuta con il vento del sud. Io non farò in modo che la vita porti via dal tuo bel viso l'allegria. Vento del sud, accarezzaci.